man.
I'm his glasses off with this glare. Oh my god! All right,
I can't see y'all again, chat.
You don't need to see them. Bro.
Womp womp.
All right.
Was it no tip, Damo? Like you couldn't get up to tip? What was it?
I don't even want to answer this shit, man. Can we just record, please? Can we just record?
Was it no tip or was it little tip?
I don't like how you ask me this question, man. Like, I don't. It feels like a trap card no matter what. I don't know.
There's no trap card. I don't even have my soundboard. Is it no tip or is it little tip?
I don't trust that at all. Let's just start. Actually, none of us. All of us had little tip. That's why we got unfollowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why you say all of us. Yeah, don't try to put us in that category. Actually, average tip is 5 inches. No, come on, bro.
Five. You know what? I almost participated.
It might be you.
You should.
No. No.
You want to put his tip in?
No.
I'm saying that's what I'm saying. Anyway, nonetheless. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he really wouldn't approve of this.
Damn. Yeah.
Yo, yeah. You really wouldn't approve of this shit. Oh, y'all don't know what y'all doing. No soundboard. Oof.
God, no soundboard.
Okay.
Y'all don't care.
How will the audience know that you fuck with him? Like, I just don't. It makes no sense to me. ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast. We're doing things different here. We are doing things totally different. We are low-key IRL. Everybody, just two-hand high five to each side.
Up top.
Side shit, my nigga.
Both sides, yeah.
There you go.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm a dead to the room. Oh. Ain't none of it.
Yeah, there we go. You know, the podcast where we try to do things differently every single time. I got the guys here with me, the collective. No Rico, but the gang. You know, the Klux, or they will be the clan. Damo, how you doing today?
Doing good. You know, it's draft week. My second favorite time of the year in the NBA season. Yeah, doing great.
Why you got this hat on? We can't really see you, man. You think this player's choice or something? What's going on?
Don't start. Please don't start. Please don't start.
I'm just saying, this shadow, I don't like it. I don't like it. Sage, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Outside of just like icing the knee, if y'all are concerned about that, nothing crazy. I just don't want to get MRI. Outside of that, 99.1 right now. So, hey, I'm not going to say we going 100 because that's every time I say that, we get cursed. But I'm on the way to 99.9999. I can't wait for it. I'm excited. Except for that 24-hour stream I'd have to do. And I'm praying to God it's not on the pod day. But that's besides the point. Man, I'm feeling different as well, man. I don't know what it is, but I feel like everyone has, like, a very similar blendy background today. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know.
We're in the same room, man.
In the same room. Let me feel your knee. Swollen.
Go off me, nigga.
Yeah, oh, my bad. my bad, twin. My bad. B-Souls, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing great. Okay. Another week that the Celtics are champions, man. Can't be better.
I can't wait till that's old.
Yeah, no.
You got 360 something days.
Can't wait, nigga. Anyway, I had my fun in the 2020s, though, so I'm not even that mad.
I had my fun in 58, I believe, so dang. Not mad either.
But better than them boys.
Listen, if you're new to this, you want to be true to this, make sure you hit that join button. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit that notification button. Make sure you loosen up your buttons, baby. Press all the buttons. Just do all the things with the buttons. You want to be in the know. We have a lot of things going on this podcast. Like we said earlier, Coach Nick is coming back on. We have some WNBA players coming on the pod. We've got some special guests during the summer. The only way to be in the know is to be the know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Joe.
And make sure you're joining the MVP side of things in the Discord, all this stuff like that. That's the way you're getting the full, exclusive, unedited tip. Pause. No pause. No pause. No pause. No pause.
Pause. Pause. Pause.
And with that being said, I mean, let's get right into the ball.
You might just have to quit that bit, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Damn.
You need it, man. You need it. Oh, don't do it.
No, just go straight into it, man. I don't know.
I don't know. All right. I got my producer Cruz in my ear. I've got the outline right here on my phone. So if I am on my phone, if I'm looking down for extended periods of time, no, it's not because, you know, I'm not paying attention. It's because I have the producer here. That's just for y'all to know. That's not for them to know. All right. Look, big three today. We're going to cover every untouchable player in the NBA. We're going to talk about some of the.
Oh, shit.
Welcome back, man. We miss you, man. Yeah.
We're going to talk about some draft things, of course. And then we have a special, special long form version of the SROS Six Rings of Steel interview. I think that that was a great interview. Yeah, I'm excited for you guys to check that out. We've got to present our stat of the day, though. It says these defenders spent the most time matched up on scoring ball handlers this year. It's a stat from Sports Radar, I'm sorry. Taking the toughest assignments, percent of a player's on ball defensive time spent matched up with an opponent's scoring ball handler during the 2023-2024 regular season. Can you guys guess who's number one? The person that's taking the toughest assignment.
Jaden McDaniels.
In the league.
Oh, oh.
Herb Jones or Jalen Suggs?
Okay, wait. Okay, so Herb Jones? No, Damo. Herb Jones is not on this list at all. Bezos, go. I'm not.
Well, I've seen the graphics. So I don't want to cheat. I don't want to cheat.
Just guess. I mean, just give a guess. That's not cheating. Purposefully fake it. You know.
Oh, okay. Drew Holiday.
No, not even on the list at all. Actually.
Damn, he's a fraud.
Oh wait, Herb Jones is down there. My bad, Damo. He's at 13, but he's at the bottom of the list. Drew Holiday's not on there at all. Sage, you have a guess?
My fault. My dog was barking, but who this is, who I think takes the toughest matchup or assignment?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Percentage.
Trae Young.
Number
he just
two.
Sucks at it.
Number two.
Trae Young's out there.
Damo, give me another guess.
Luka.
No, actually, no. Which would actually, it wouldn't be, that wouldn't be. Not a bad one, you would think, because he's getting, switched on.
Yeah.
Sage?
Mm-hmm. Outside of Trey, I'm thinking, who else do I think is, I ain't going to lie. Nah, not Bron. Who on the Lakers, man? Probably D-Lo? No. AR.
I'm surprised that y'all are going non-defenders, but I understand the concept of going non-defenders. No.
Damn.
Derek White or Derek Jones Jr. spends the most time on the scoring ball handler for the opposing team. Next after that is Lou Dort, OG Anunoby, KCP, Jalen Suggs, like Damo said, Jaden McDaniels, Torian Prince, Mikal Bridges, Alex Caruso, Jeremy Sochan is the 10. Now, with that being said, OKC is going to have two of the top 10 people that spend the most time on the primary scoring ball handler.
That's going to make one of them get All-NBA. Yeah, one of them is going to be frame one All-NBA. The other one's going to look like they're a snub, but reality is they're just taking easier matchups and probably not getting their full defensive value, actually. I think one person is just going to be locking up a random-ass role player, so I don't know if that helps or hurts defensive stats. Y'all know I don't pay attention to that.
They're going to be playing small as hell.
Yeah.
I'm not
that too.
They still need a Daniel Gafford, man, after all our discussions.
Kind of.
It's J-Dub.
Daniel Gafford?
At 6'5", playing the power forward?
I've heard Isaiah Hartenstein's name brought up.
They get him there.
I don't know how legit that is.
They get Isaiah. They're broken, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting Isaiah. The Knicks are supposedly looking into trading Mitchell Robinson to make space to re-sign Isaiah.
Okay.
Who you heard that from?
I've heard that Mitchell might go to D.C. I've heard that.
D.C. what?
Alexar, Mitchell Robinson.
Let me stop right there. Let me ask y'all this, especially the B Souls, because he talked about his whole super team point. If we get into the analytics of things and like these players are this good, X, Y, and Z, blase, blase, blah, they do this, then a third. How can this not be considered a super team? How can OKC? Yes.
Because again, my criteria is pretty vague, but when they got Caruso, did any of y'all think, oh, this is an unbeatable team? Like, oh, this isn't fair that this team was formed?
No. Mm-mm. But I have a somewhat different reason, more detailed reason, but no.
Yeah. I just have really high standards for what a super team is, bro. I do as well.
And you think there's no super team in the league?
No. We're in the parity era. There's no super team.
Yeah, I guess.
I think we're in the parity era and you're the super team in it. But unironically, when it comes to the Thunder, I think, funny enough, one of your takes as well, I don't know if we said that on this channel or Southern Sage, Chet and J-Dub, no insult to them, I don't think they're at the level to where, hey, this is like a crazy three-headed dragon and you got two all-NBA defenders and your bench is like that. You're a super team. I don't think they fit that criteria, even like how a Boston does. So I think it's kind of weird to call OKC a super team and then Boston not, let alone both being a super team when there's a clear difference between the two, in my opinion, at least. Even though SGA probably is just definitively better than Tatum for those people that are going to yap it up.
Damn. Random Tatum, sure.
That's not a straight, but I mean, everybody all sensitive about Tatum. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying for the people that would argue SGA is better than Tatum, though, Lowell's, I don't think that gap is that big. I think it's very, you know.
Definitely.
I just think ultimately we lose the team concept. Two or three of the top 10, 15 guys in the league shouldn't make a super team, especially in today's league. Yo, really solid pieces, really great pieces at all five positions, and you got some depth on that bench. That's a team. Nay, a super team.
What about the Nuggets? They have really solid players at all five positions, too. So you think the Nuggets are a super team?
Super team.
Okay. What about the Timberwolves?
Nah, they got some holes, man. They got some holes, especially on the bench. Like, especially bench, but they got some holes. They got some questions. They got some concerns.
I don't think the Nuggets are deep enough to be a super team, at least for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, because I think the thing with super team labels throwing them out quickly is how proven are the talents. And I know I was like mentioned J-Dub and Chet, but let alone like Christian Braun, Peyton Watson. I would say they're good players, but I don't know if they're proven enough to be like, oh, yeah, these are certified great. They're good bench players, but great bench players, let alone factoring to a super team, especially when like Jamal Murray's stock is on the down. KCP is only getting older technically, so we don't know when that's going to decline. I wouldn't say they're a super team.
I don't know why Jamal Murray's stock is on the down. Jamal Murray literally looked like the same player, but nonetheless.
Needed none.
That's because other people thought he was. Never mind.
That's a different conversation. Then I'm about
that's to gonna get me into some slander. Yeah. Let's get into hot take or hot ass. Where we see if the take is a hot take or a hot ass take. We have our guy, B Souls' guy, Jay Sean Tatum, at the celebratory winning of the championship title. Brian Scalabrini's asking him some questions, and he says,
"Jason Tatum, how was the last couple days since winning the championship?"
Been unreal. Still doesn't seem true, but just trying to stay in the moment, honestly.
And you guys jumped on a flight to Miami right off next day?
A couple hours after, actually.
You guys been on a lot of trips to Miami, a lot of hard-fought trips to Miami. Was this one a little sweeter taking that trip down?
They always easy.
Me personally,
talk about having me on your mind. How do we feel about this subtle shot to Miami? I didn't even know Boston and Miami had this like rivalry where they needed to be taking shots like this. But Bezos, how do you feel that even though y'all won a championship, in the back of Jason Tatum's mind is Miami?
he got asked a pretty direct question. I mean, bro, it's a rivalry. I like this in the sport. I like people talking shit, even if it's warranted or not. So I'm a fan of it. I liked it when the Heat were talking trash as well. I said it on my Twitter page. I think the Celtics versus Heat rivalry is probably the only real rivalry in the league that has like a really large sample size. So, I mean, I like it. And I think record-wise, when he does go to Miami on the road, like, I think it was 2022 when the road team won every single game up until maybe even the last game. So they both have, like, good road records against each other. So, hey, man, you want a chip? He's talking shit. I'm fine with it.
I would definitely say, hot take, I agree with Souls. I love it. I love the chippiness. Last year, when the Denver Nuggets won the championship and they got on their microphones and did their parades and they brought up the Lakers, I'm like, ah, this shit feels forced. Like, do y'all really hate us? No, y'all jealous. With the Celtics and Heat, this is genuine animosity. This is genuine hate, and this is the type of pettiness I like. It doesn't feel corny. It doesn't feel forced. It's legit history there in this rivalry. It's not something that just got sprung onto us after one series. Like, I like it. Hot take.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what everybody's saying, not to echo the room. I murmured fuck earlier because Domo stole my point, so I'll pick a different rivalry, like Phoenix, Minnesota, or really just any somewhat chippy rivalry in the semis or the first round that people be like, oh, yeah, we're back. Nah. We ain't had, like, this feels like some L.A. and then the new version of the Clippers shit where they actually just don't fuck with each other. Except, to be honest, they have more history in Boston and Miami because they've just simply matched up consistently for like the past 5 years, I think, even. I'm definitely for it. I'm not, as much as I'm a Laker fan that wants to dunk on the Celtics, I ain't got no problem with them talking shit. That's why I'm like, damn. I need this offseason to hurry the fuck up so we can start talking basketball again, because I talk shit too. I mean, I did. So I'm not mad at anything Boston's doing in regards to dunking on Miami, especially when maybe I don't want to go into my hot take yet, but especially when that Heat culture, we might got to take a calm little revisit at that, because in hindsight.
Dang, we got to. Okay, right. We got to revisit them.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I can specify what I'm saying now, but then I gotta come up with another hot take.
No, save it. I'll say the only thing that, I mean, it just feels forced. Now, I understand what we're saying. This is the only real rivalry in the league. You know, we had Damo on here a couple months ago talking about Anthony Edwards and the Washington Wizards or some shit like nobody knows about what that is. Nobody. What? Who was it? Who was it?
Just put it on him, man. Damn.
It was Anthony Edwards and who?
I was saying that there are actually more storylines than
Damo,
credit
who,
for.
What was the storyline, gang? What was the storyline?
I forget what it was months ago, Omar. I can't remember off the top of my head.
So it sounds weak as fuck. It was Anthony
Edwards. It sounds weak. The season's over, man. Like, I don't.
It was Anthony Edwards and the taco stand man from you know, Detroit or some shit like that. Like, it was a weak one. It was a weak one.
Wasn't it Ant? Someone in the chat said it. Wasn't it Ant versus Shea?
It might have been versus the Wizards. Didn't Ant say, like, he plays ass against the Wizards?
Yeah, it was the Wizards. It was an East Coast
Ant
team for
Shea
sure.
Had some back and forth.
Mm. No,
I know Ant had some words about Shea whenever they played the Thunder.
Then someone in chat. What are you looking at chat at?
I got my phone on my hip, like on my leg. I'm good. You see, I'm not really. Yeah. It's in the peripheral, man. I'm still in the camera.
No, I'm just saying. I'm like, okay, you making this up. Nonetheless, but yeah, this feels like a real. This feels like real beef, real sausage. You know, Grant Williams is a bitch, even if he's not on Boston to this day. That's the way that they feel, and because Grant Williams is Jason Tatum's guy, you know, he's got to get back at Jimmy Butler for that. You know, I get it.
Miami been talking shit too. It's really just Jimmy. I can't lie. Because I think after they won game two against us, like, Jimmy put up that, whatchamacallit, that Instagram post of don't let us get one with his face photoshopped on Jaylen Brown. So, I mean, motherfuckers didn't find that corny. So, hey, it's just a fireback, man.
I think Jimmy Butler's a dog, and maybe that's it. I think Jason Tatum is, man. He's been on a clip hunting tour. You know, he's Neon. He's Jack Doherty. You know.
Nah, that's crazy. You're not gonna say nothing about that. That's crazy.
He has been clip hunting, man. I can't even deny it.
He's been
nasty.
It's me. He deserves it.
I'm so mad. I'm defending.
And it's not
the
a deserve or not, bro. It's just he's been clip hunting. I fuck with it. Honestly, I fuck with the clip hunting.
I will clip hunt too. I will clip hunt too if I got my victory. When I was getting my victory laps in, I will clip hunt too.
I just wanted him to quote himself. That's the only thing. He's quoting everybody else. Stop it.
That's what I'm saying. Say she's not even trying to, come with some original. Even Brian Scalabrine tried to throw. Is it a easy flight, Jason? Like, come on, bro. Okay, all right. We'll get up out of here. I'm gonna talk about some trade rumors. Not some trade rumors, but some destinations. Speaking of Jimmy Butler reporting, this is from Howard Beck. Jimmy Butler will be traded. Rival executives have been buzzing about it for months. For all the obvious reasons, Butler is about to turn 35 with a lot of hard miles and a lot of injuries. We got to have the questions about, Jimmy Butler, have that conversation. I want to kind of start it off with, though, we have this situation in this offseason where two marquee forwards are looking to be, off their teams. Who would you rather have, Jimmy Butler or Paul George? Go.
Depends on the situation, but I feel like for more teams, Jimmy Butler probably fits better. Or they need a Jimmy.
I actually disagree. I was going to say, I guess peak talent for peak talent, you may be able to argue a Paul. Oh, my God. Fucking English. I think peak talent for peak talent right now, you might even be able to get away with arguing a Jimmy Butler because of inconsistencies in the playoffs versus – all right, yeah, he's just typically not that guy. Granted, he was not supposed to be a number one in Paul George. However, who fits better on most teams? Definitely Paul George for me.
I would definitely say Paul George fits on more teams, skill for skill. He's the more skilled player, so more teams would, benefit from his play style. Jimmy Butler fits in a finite amount of places. He fits with a certain cast of people. Jimmy Butler's that guy that just can't work with anybody. He's like a Kobe mentality. Like everybody couldn't play with Kobe. Like certain people, it just ain't in you to play with Kobe. I think that's the same way with Jimmy Butler. You need a certain type of wiring to play with Jimmy Butler because he's a character.
So what are these places that we're thinking of where PG fits better than Jimmy? Because the number one place that I'm thinking of that both of them would be beneficial is Philly. And I think they need a Jimmy Butler more than Paul George.
I think
let me say this. I would actually even disagree with what Damo just said, only because a lot of these people need some sort of leadership on their team. And Philly was going to be somebody that we brought up. But if we talk about the teams that are looking at adding these players, I think Philadelphia needs that leader, that dog, that whatever the case may be. We heard that Angel Reese clip from yesterday. I'm a dog. It's just, it's just in me. I think Jimmy Butler would fit perfectly there. Indiana, I think they need that as well. Like if we're having a conversation about him joining Indiana, and damn near any other team that I could think of that would be in the hunt for like these types of players, Paul George even might be younger than Jimmy Butler. I really wouldn't care just because of the scary stuff Paul George has been saying in the offseason. I need that dog as Jimmy Butler, man. I think he fits everywhere more than Paul George does.
Everybody doesn't react well to having a dog in their locker room. I can understand from the outside looking in, you're saying, oh, well, it seems like they would need his leadership. That's fine. We've seen Jimmy Butler on the Sixers before, and it didn't work because of front office issues and coaching issues. Now, if you're saying that the coach that Nick Nurse, well, they have Nick Nurse now, so there won't be a coaching issue. I mean, cool. I didn't think it would have been a coaching issue with Rondo and Rick Carlisle, and we see how that worked. So I just don't know. It's just that level of uncertainty. And because I've seen Jimmy Butler go to two destinations, the 76ers where it didn't work because of coaching in front office, and then Minnesota where it didn't work because of front office ownership, coaching, and players on the team, I know that there are places where Jimmy could go and it just wouldn't pan out because of how Jimmy plays and how he wants to lead. He said it when he went to Miami. this felt like home because they do things this way. Now, if you send them to somewhere like Indiana, yeah, they do need a dog. That's why they got James Johnson, because I don't know how Indiana practices. I don't know how Indiana prepares for games. And if they don't prepare how Jimmy prepares, Jimmy's not going to like it. And I don't care if Jimmy Butler – I feel like Jimmy's one of those people where if he's 30, 35, or 40, he's going to bring the same level of intensity and passion and leadership that he always going to have, whether he can produce like that or not. And some guys aren't going to – it's just going to rub some dudes the wrong way. We've seen it.
But, yeah, but we knew those things that you're saying, and I'm sorry, we knew those things that you were saying about this organization not being whatever. We knew that about Philly prior to Jimmy, and we knew that about Minnesota prior to Jimmy as well. So I would just say, based off of what we know, I just don't see it. It would be more of a shock, and I would bank more on a shock than I already know. Like, Cat is soft, Wiggins is questionable. You know, all these things, and that's a dysfunctional head, like, you know, organization or whatever the case may be. That doesn't sound like the best place for Jimmy to go, as opposed to even Minnesota right now. Like, I think they're in a much better space right now, and a Jimmy Butler would work for sure there.
For me, I think it's a matter of, does X team need a leader, and does X team need a leader, whether it's on or off the court? For example, and this is completely hypothetical, but like a Thunder or a Nuggets, a Mavericks, even like a LA, for example, I don't think they need a Jimmy Butler in there. I think all four of those teams would greatly, like, absurdly benefit with a Paul George in terms of skill set, in terms of personality in the locker room. He's not going to try to head honcho it up. He's not going to try to change what you got going on, turn it. I know it's Heat culture, but, like, I'm not saying Heat culture is Jimmy Butler culture, but Jimmy Butler plays a huge fucking factor into it. So I don't think that he's going to try to change things up there. And then also, when we're talking about them just as individual talents, I mean, hey, Jimmy Butler has shown to rise to the occasion time in and time out more than Paul George, at least. But we haven't seen Paul George in quite some time be that number two. And I think it's very fair to say Paul George as a number two is way more complimentary to a lot of superstars in this league than Jimmy Butler as a number two is, in my personal opinion.
I think a lot of these teams that are looking at Jimmy or Paul George, I don't even think we need to go to the leadership point, which is a valid point. I just think a lot of these teams would much benefit from a better on-ball playmaker than a better shooter. Because I think that's Paul George's difference between Jimmy Butler is the shooting. I think that aspect of it is more replaceable on these other teams. But having a guy that can be one of the top-tier on-ball playmakers in the league and still be one of the better defenders in the league, his shooting woes is going to be something that you deal with. But on-ball playmaking is one of the most, like, invaluable attributes in the league right now. So, like, even in Philly, you would have to probably move Tyrese Maxey more off-ball with Jimmy Butler there. But I would like to see their system with Jimmy Butler being on the ball a little bit more, Joel Embiid posting up, and Tyrese Maxey being, like, a not a Ray Allen, but, like, off the catch guy more.
I also think a weird argument to make, but just an argument I'm going to present, I think Paul George's game is going to age better. Not the player may not still be better, but, like, if I had to be, actually, let me take that back, because I think Paul George, an old version of Paul George might end up being a little better. But I think in terms of being a defender turn maybe just shooter, I think that's going to age more than what Jimmy Butler demands. Now, Jimmy Butler just might say fuck it whenever he doesn't have that same first step and retire before Paul George does. But I think if we're really, really, really about to get weird and technical with it, when we offer these contracts 4 years down the line, I think Paul George might be more serviceable just because of what he's good at compared to what Jimmy is good at.
Yeah. Well, speaking of teams, people, who's more valuable, who's less valuable, I want to play a game with y'all. I want to do a little activity. We're going to make a list of all the untouchable players on every single NBA team.
Oh, no.
I love this.
Oh, no.
The reason why we're doing this is because there was a report that came out, and I want to read it to y'all. This is from Draft Express. Now, I wonder where these people get their stuff. Jalen Johnson appears to be the only untouchable player in trade talks on the Hawks roster, and that'll come into play a little bit later down the line. A full-blown fire sale seems to be on the Hawks horizon. So I want to go down... Yeah, I know. I want to go down the list. We're going to start in ATL, who has the first pick, and they have some things that we're going to talk about later to discuss. But who do we feel like are the untouchables on that team?
what should be. So this is like if we were the GM, who's untouchable, right?
Yeah, if you were the GM.
Okay, all right, because I'm about to say the answer should be if you didn't have the number one pick, nobody. But because you have the number one pick, Sar and Trae Young. My God.
Are you assuming that Sar is going to be the number one pick? That's your problem. Bruh, that's your problem.
Yeah. Like, I'm the GM, so I'm picking Sar. I'm not doing this tomfoolery with them.
I think the number one pick is going to be a high price for that. And then Jalen Johnson. I don't think Trae Young is as untouchable as Sage thinks. For me personally,
just with Sar. If I'm not drafting Sar for whatever reason, I get a hell of an offer. Oh, Trey's not untouchable, but Trey and Sar as a duo. Oh, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no one is the answer. They're shouldn't untouchable on the Atlanta Hawks, in my opinion.
And well, Jalen Johnson is already stretching. I can't lie. So
yeah,
let me ask because even the concept of untouchable, I may not like the phrasing because everybody is to a degree like you would trade somebody for everybody. I think there may be legitimately one or two people who you wouldn't trade, but like I think when we have this conversation about untouchable, we should talk about more like realistic ranges because nobody's saying no to a Wimby for trade. But you're not saying no to a Wimby for Kobe White or like you would have to get so far into the NBA pool of players before you say no to a Trae Young. So I'm going to go ahead and say that he's untouchable. And then I guess the experiment to Jalen Johnson, I still got him in the untouchable category as well. Mm. And then naturally the first pick. I mean, we don't know what the first pick is, so it is what it is. But yeah, Dama, why are you saying no to Trae Young without it being any phantasmical? All right, if I can get Luka Doncic out of this, like, of course. But
yeah, let me be clear. I'm sorry, but let me be clear. That's what I'm referring to, by the way, Omar and anybody else. Yeah, when I'm saying Trae Young's untouchable, I'm saying obviously if a motherfucker says, I'll send you Wimby, bro, well, I mean, shit, bye, Trae.
I wouldn't even say Wimby. I would just say, I mean, if I'm not thinking if I'm the GM, I'm thinking in terms of what the Hawks are giving off, which is I don't know how long the Trae Young show is going to last in Atlanta. Throw that away. Even as the GM, I'm done with the Trae Young experience. And it isn't going to take a Luka Doncic trade for me to trade Trae Young. It's not going to take a Wimby for me to trade Trae Young. It's just going to take whatever I feel comfortable starting over with because this was our franchise guy. Other than that, again, DeJounte Murray is a guy that's name is in trade rumors. It's not a guy that I'm willing to just sit on for the highest bidder. I will trade him for something I'm comfortable with. And then after that, I don't think no one else is deemed to be untouchable. I like Jalen Johnson. Don't get me wrong. I bangs with JJ. It's not untouchable. What does what look like? What I'm comfortable with?
Yeah, for Trae Young specifically.
For Trae Young, give me a team.
Boston. Realistically. Boston,
I mean, that's kind of.
Orlando? Would Orlando be better?
I mean, I'm a rattle off some teams. Go ahead.
If you say Orlando, I would say for me, I would take draft capital. In terms of players, it would either have to be, if realistic, Franz. And if you're not going to give me Franz, I feel that. An accumulation of role players that I'm comfortable with. So a Jalen Suggs and a Markel with a pick. And a young player like a Jet Howard on top of that as well. Again, and this is with a pick or two. That doesn't seem too crazy for Trae Young from what we've seen other players go for. But I'm comfortable doing that if I'm the Hawks in terms of me starting over.
Let me give you two more.
You still in Atlanta?
Yeah, because we're trying to figure out what a trade package may look like. Let's say you are New York.
New York, OG declined his player option, so he's a free agent. But I would say for New York, an accumulation of draft capital, Julius Randle, and either DiVincenzo or Josh Hart, one or the other.
You scamming them at that point.
Okay, am I scamming them?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, if you're The Knicks is a weird team, and I'm not about to say Jalen Brunson. So
I got you.
Well, then let's go with the team.
Unless I'm gonna just ring off a bunch of role players, and I ain't want to do that. So
nah, you good. You're right. I didn't think about Jalen Brunson, man. You're right.
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans give me B.I. or Ingram, and then throw B.I. or Ingram draft capital, and then Trey Murphy or
Hardy. B.I. or Ingram?
B.I. or Ingram. I don't. Am I speaking Mandarin? B.I. Brandon Ingram. Ooh. I'm sorry.
Am I stupid? B.I. or Ingram? Brandon Ingram. Okay. So
hey, Chad, he was so sassy too, bro. Am I speaking Mandarin?
Mandarin? I was nervous. I was stupid. Go ahead.
B.I. is Zion. B.I. is Zion. Draft capital. Then Herb Jones or Trey Murphy. And then you can add, if I can get Dice and Dangles out of there, cool. That's just an add on if I can get that.
Okay.
That was crazy. That's on.
That's a clip. Hey,
I'm dumb.
B.I. or Ingram is a clip.
I'm dumb.
I swear to God, I was so confused.
I was scared that there was another
B.I. He was actually gaslighting me. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I'm like, damn.
B.I. Oregon. Is there another B.I.?
There's another B.I. on New Orleans?
Oh, Herb Jones. What is
it? He's talking about Byron Ingles. Byron Ingles is.
Oh, okay, Brendan Ivy. Like, what?
I was so scared.
I mean, let's. I don't know. I disagree, but I mean, that's the podcast is made to disagree. Let's keep going. The Boston Celtics, untouchables.
Oh, considering everybody, that was a weird noise to make. Considering that everyone's on the fucking team under contract, unless I'm mistaken, I ain't gonna lie. Weird situation where a lot of tradable talent is untouchable. I'd probably say outside of like fodder, like, but the core 5-6 players, nah, leave us alone, bro.
Yeah, the core six for next year is untouchable as hell. But in terms of like 2-3 years down the line, I think the only two that are untouchable is at the end of the day, JB and JT.
Retweet.
Derek White getting an extension is an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But Porzingis, I don't think he's as untouchable, primarily because of his health. If this continues to be the trend, and I understand he was a big part of us raising our ceiling this year, but at the end of the day, he was on load managing. They were load managing throughout the whole regular season. He barely played in the playoffs, and we still got it done. And then Al Horford, I mean, you know, guys like that obviously they're not going to be untouchable moving forward. So, Drew is getting old too. My bad. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, Drew like 34.
I would say JB, JT, and Derek White are the three untouchables. Other than that, everybody else.
Pack them up.
Yeah.
Brooklyn. Let's go through these.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. That's everyone out of me, especially with Clack's contract being gone, Mikal contract potentially being, well, I wouldn't say an overpay, just not as a number one. Cam Thomas, a young scorer, but I don't think he's – oh, my God, yeah, we can't get rid of Cam Thomas. There's a price on that. So, yeah, I think anybody can go.
Depends on what Mikal's trade market value is. Because I do like the fact that they came out in public and said if they are keeping Mikal, he's not going to be like a number one dude. He's going to be a complementary piece to another star, which I do think would be perfect for Mikal. And if that's the case, you need to throw a lot for Mikal Bridges. But outside of that, a lot of touchables on pause, but a lot of guys you can trade.
Mikal's the only one I'm gonna say.
Okay,
yeah, he's high up there for me. I just think that technically he's not so untouchable to where I take some trade pieces or whatever if someone's trying to win a chip for real.
Let's go through some of these easier ones fast. Right. Hornets.
I ain't gonna lie, Brandon Miller.
That's it.
Brandon Miller.
I agree, Sage.
LaMelo, Brandon Miller, and Mark Williams.
I was on the bubble with Mark Williams. I'm more LaMelo, Brandon Miller. I'm going to land on Brandon Miller, though. I'm not going to lie. The Chicago Bulls.
Nobody. nobody. Please let that be unanimous.
Kobe White?
He's good, but that's what I'm saying. I can see somebody crashing out and trying to trade for Kobe White, and I don't think he's good enough, nor am I good enough, that I'm going to be able to use Kobe White by then properly. So I think it's a situation where it's like, you can get a haul for Kobe White, sell him high.
Yeah, if somebody,
I think Kobe White can be like their Tyrese Maxey, though. So,
if somebody says, I'll send you two first for Kobe White,
damn.
You saying no?
It depends.
Yeah, I'm saying no.
Which first?
If the Spurs called me specifically, because them two, Kobe.
I'm just saying they have enough other pieces that they can trade for draft capital and young assets to the point where, why do we got to trade this young asset that's already proven for us? Like,
I'm also nitpicking you, Omar, because maybe they disagree. I'm also nitpicking you because if you had said three and like some other young player, he gone. I ain't gonna lie.
I'm not trading Kobe White for two Boston first round picks. I'm sorry. It depends on who picks there are.
We do this though. You can't always think of the worst. Let me say this. You could think of the worst, but you also have to think of the best. And if the answer is yes for the best, then that means that person is tradable. That means that person is touchable. We can't always just automatically assume this is the worst situation.
But that's not realistic to assume you're about to get two first round Charlotte picks for Kobe White. That's just not realistic.
You could probably get two first round Detroit picks for Kobe White. Yes, you probably could.
I don't think you would get two
Detroit. I think there's a happy medium of future first. Like, you could get Suns future first for Kobe White, and the Suns, I don't think we think in 5 years is going to be a powerhouse, in my personal opinion.
The game is unrealistic by nature, so we have to be able to be okay with being a little unrealistic here, Damo.
I would just ask who are the picks from? I'm not saying that. Again, I feel you. If they're two good picks, then yes, but it just depends on who the picks are. But for me, my answer would be Kobe White and Dallin Terry. Those would be my two untouchables.
Damn, not Dosunmu? I thought you would go down.
I bangs with AO, but I'm willing to trade AO. I bangs with Dallin Terry.
If there's a world in which two pick, never mind. Fuck it. Just fuck it.
I agree with you.
Fuck it. We're only on the first row. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oof.
Evan Mobley. That's it.
Yeah. Because whether I'm trying to win now or tank, why would I get rid of Evan Mobley at this point in time? Yeah, Evan Mobley. Actually, I'm going to steal your answer. I was going to say nobody at first.
Yeah, Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. Because if D-Mitch is gone, then I'm keeping Garland.
If D-Mitch resigns, it would be on some, damn, we just resigned him. Why the fuck would we trade him shit? So if D-Mitch resigns, I mean, he'd be untouchable.
I'd get rid of Darius Garland. I'm interested in what's his name? We'll talk about him later, but it's a couple guards coming up that I'm interested in. Dallas Mavericks.
Luka Doncic.
Luka.
Low key. I don't see what the upgrade is. Yeah, I'm gonna say Luka and Lively, actually.
Yeah.
Luka and Lively.
Yeah, Luka and Lively.
The Denver Nuggets.
Jokic. Maybe Aaron Gordon, but
Thank you, Sage.
The only thing is, like, do you think any other player making those dollars is tradable? I'm going to probably say no and go Jokic-Gordon.
Jokic and Gordon.
I think they're in a similar situation with Boston where you just keep that core until we get a larger sample size that, this core cannot get it done. And they've proven in 2023 that they got it done. I think if the matchups just were different this year, they may have gotten it done this year. So the core of Jokic, Jamal, MPJ, Aaron Gordon, I think KCP is probably the most replaceable one out of that starting five. You keep that together as long as you can. So,
I'm going Jokic. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say Jokic, Jamal, and Peyton Watson, only untouchables. Aaron Gordon is close. But I think there's a price.
That's my thing. I don't know if there's a price for somebody that could do the defensive impact and the somehow invisible act he does on offense in terms of catching lobs than Aaron Gordon in the league right now. And I think that's like a perfect player with Jokic. So I don't think it can get better than that in terms of complimenting him. As a result, he might just be untouchable.
That's my thing. And when I think about these conversations, I think about how easy it is to replace the person that I'm talking about trading. Like, sure, I may get rid of you for a first round pick, let me go find another ball handling, playmaking point guard. All right, cool. That's why I'm fine with Darius Garland going. Finding a replacement for Aaron Gordon, who for whatever reason seems to be a good to great match for Jokic, is crazy. Plus,
defensive anchor too.
Yeah, I can't see another power forward that would be like, okay, if we got a shooting power forward, what would that look like to Jokic? I don't think that works as well as like the Gordon thing. So that's why he's untouchable for me.
Yeah,
it's just me. The Detroit Pistons.
I'll take nobody, even though I want to say guys like Asar and Cade. I think at this point, man, y'all done fucked up.
Cade is untouchable. After one season, it's too soon to say Asar is not untouchable. Duren, I'm putting in that discussion too. I just need a bigger sample size, bro. I think that core that they got, there's you don't quit on them. You don't quit on them right now.
It's only three. Cade, Asar, and JD. Everyone else is tradable.
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry. I'm sorry.
It's literally on some like, bruh, you got me four. I'm going to go ASA. Don't talk to me about no Steph. That's it. Usually, if this was 2K, he should be. But don't talk to me about no Steph. That's it.
It just depends on the direction they want to go. I think if they go the rebuilding route, then Kuminga's more of an untouchable to them. But if they're going the, all right, let's try to get a couple more years out of Steph Curry and Draymond, then obviously Steph and Dray.
We talking about you.
Okay. For me, I think they should. I go lie, man. I think they should ride the Steph Curry wheels until
retweet. Thank you, bro. Like, did we dine with Curry over there?
Yeah. So it's Curry and Draymond. It's Curry and Draymond. And then they just live with the consequences after of not rebuilding soon enough. But now with Steph Curry's done for that franchise, I do it.
Why not? The Houston Rockets.
For me, Jalen Green, Sengun, Tari Eason, Jabari, and Amen.
Damn, the whole core.
Yeah. Damn. Absolutely. I love them.
I mean, I love the core, but I don't know, untouchable? Like, no upgrades to, like, I know we mentioned them earlier, but, like, a McCall or something even better, like a, I mean, hypothetical, why the fuck would be available, but, like, J-Mac type shit? No upgrades
whatsoever? That's what Cam Whitmore's for. That's what Dylan Brooks is for. That's what Fred Van Fleet's for.
Damn, trade so them. You think this team is just the sim button, and it'll be okay. For me, I know it's weird to say. I'm going to say JG. I do think Sengun works, and I think the lowest overall player I'll mention that I do think fits them is Tari. So I might say Tari. But I know that's not a character for me.
Sengun's the clear one to me that's untouchable. These other guys depends on this next upcoming season to me.
They are the Pistons to me. They need more time. I just can't be definitive. And kind of the same thing I'm about to say about this other team. The Indiana Pacers.
Reese
and Andrew. I want to see what's up, if Andrew's really a hooper or was that just like some playoff magic.
Reese Nimbard, Jairus Walker. I think Jairus Walker is going to be a really good player.
I feel the same. I would say the same thing, but then I would also throw in like Benedict Mathurin. I Miles Turner can get out of here. You know, not fuck him, but he can get out of here. But everybody else, like, I kind of want to just see one more time. So,
yeah, I just want to see that core one more time.
Yeah. Untouchable, by the way, viewers, comment 248 does not mean we're trying to trade them. It just means they're not untouchable. Feel me?
Now, if Jimmy Butler is out there, some of these guys, this would change. The Los Angeles Clippers.
Nobody.
Nobody.
I would say nobody. Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah. All right, 1.25. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Anthony Davis.
AD.
I was going to say, I think it's just AD, unless you love that Reeves contract. It's probably just AD.
It's AD. The Memphis Grizzlies.
Ja, Gigi Jackson, and that's it.
I would put Desmond Bane. I would throw Desmond Bane in that conversation. But yeah, John Desmond. The Miami Heat.
No Bam. Bam. That's it. Oh wait, no, yeah, Bam. Bam. Drunk. Bam.
Jaime's not untouchable. I was thinking about Jaime.
He's really good,
Bam.
Though.
Just he is. Yeah, he is. Good, but Bam.
And mind you, rookie. So one more season. If we spend this next summer, he could definitely join that conversation. I don't think that's too crazy. Milwaukee. Giannis,
and that's it.
Yeah, okay. Well, damn.
Well, do you think? I don't know. Is Dame too soon to say? Like Dame,
he never was untouchable because one, this was something that could possibly happen, and two, you could always be like, all right, Dame, we can get some more depth instead. I thought signing Dame was the right move, but it never had to be the final.
I think Dame is a guy that they're just not looking to move until like 3-4 years down the line even. So maybe that's where I'm looking at this is like in this next upcoming year, would they be looking to move this guy if the right offer came along? And I think they're still trying to make that Dame Giannis shit work. So I'm putting Dame.
I give you there. I wouldn't quit on Dame this upcoming season, but next season or hell, even the deadline, if shit's wonky, I'm not going to act like he's untouchable. I have to accept that, yo, this guy did have a significant injury. Hell, he has a couple in hindsight. And then now we're in win now mode and he's on the decline.
About to get the Kemba Walker treatment.
I gave up on him 2 years ago. So this is
I'm not giving him the Kemba souls, but I am saying, hey, if Dane could turn into shit, I don't have a point guard mind, but like, if Dame could turn into a good point guard and then a wing, that's all I'm gonna say. Oh, you can't see me. I shrugged my shoulders.
He's the next Jalen Brunson. We need that next Jalen Brunson on that team. Minnesota. I think
Ant.
We should all
Ant and J Mac for real.
Oh yeah, J Mac. I actually very much agree with J Mac and J Mac.
Maybe not. Nice,
when comes along, I don't know about J Mac.
Yeah, that is right. The clear answer is Ant, though. So the New Orleans Pelicans.
Nobody.
No one.
Yeah, I want to say fucking Zion, but nah, he just has a high dollar. I'm not going to act like don't talk to me about Zion.
Contrary to popular belief, I will be saying Herbert Jones.
Mm. He's up there. He was the only guy I was thinking about.
There. So. He's up there.
Yeah. Very good point. My sell is you only want to be a playmaker? Come on down. What's a light skin buddy? Is that Trey Murphy that can shoot it though?
Really shoot it and athletic, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
too light skin.
He
shoots deep threes pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm. Yeah. Yeah.
Trey Murphy's close though. He's a dog.
He's close. He's close. But Herb Jones is my answer.
I do think they get the wings of the future. Yeah.
Yeah. The New York Knicks.
Brunson.
JB.
Jalen Brunson.
Josh Hart.
Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart. Matter of fact, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, the UConn team. Don't break them up. Keep them together.
DiVincenzo is on the border. I forgot Josh Hart existed. That's crazy because I fucked with Josh Hart since Lego days. But yeah, Josh Hart and Brunson for culture, honestly, let alone how talented they are.
I'm not going to lie. They're core four. They need to figure it out with OG gang. I think that they figured something really, really nice out last year. I think that that team could have gave a lot of people a lot of problems. Maybe they would have ran out of, you know, juice offensively coming up against the Celtics. But I would not be able to sleep a little bit if I wasn't able to see that fully through.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they're making any moves to like break up that core. So
yeah, you guys,
most of that team is untouchable. So.
I'm scamming.
OKC.
Ooh,
shit. Here we go. Chet.
J-Dub. I don't know about the whole starting five. Lou Dort can go, and so can AC.
That might be it.
If we're just talking about, like, this next upcoming year, bro, like, there's no reason to break them up. Same thing with New York. That whole starting five is untouchable.
I'm not looking to trade nobody, but the word untouchable, don't call me about no Chet and SGA, bro. But I'm not looking to trade shit, but don't call me about
Chet. Yeah, I'm not looking to trade shit, but in terms of this conversation, the clear three is Chet, SGA, and J-Dub. Yeah.
And I probably say J Dub Mike, yo. Like for what, bro?
Last few. The Orlando Magic.
Paolo.
I'm thinking about Suggs right now. Paolo definitely, by the way. Thinking about Suggs. I'm gonna say nah, but high price on Suggs.
Franz, you not thinking about Franz?
Nah, I think he's a player that you'll probably end up upgrading from one day more than he's like, oh yeah, you just died with Franz. Not that he's ass, but yeah.
I think he can beat Paolo's Jaylen Brown, man. Not too much.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. The Philadelphia 76ers.
Maxi.
Realistically, Embiid, because they're still trying to make that work.
In my opinion, nobody.
You know, Domo, I'm tempted to say nobody. Bro.
I stretched it for Maxi Gang. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Saying nobody makes me want to say nobody. No,
I'm not gonna say nobody because if I trade Joel Embiid, all you niggas can go.
You gotta keep in Maxi the same way like Chicago's. You said yes to Kobe White earlier.
If we hitting the button. Hit the fucking button. Like, shit.
Wow, that's crazy because I remember having conversation about the Bulls with y'all like in the season. And I was actually on y'all side of like trading Kobe White back then. Y'all like, you can keep him. But
I mean, Souls, sadly, I like Kobe White more than Tyrese Maxey. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
That's surprising. I thought you were a big Maxey guy, man.
I think you're tripping there. But no, I think you get a haul for Maxey. So if you get in the haul for Embiid, you get two hauls. Embiid and Maxi, yeah, you go crazy.
The Phoenix Suns.
Nobody. Devin Booker. Let me say Devin Booker. Nobody. And Bobo.
Okay. Devin Booker's my answer. The Portland Trailblazers.
Nobody.
Definitely nobody.
Scoot.
Nobody.
I'm not trading Scoot next year unless you send the fucking moon, but you can send the moon.
The moon for a blind nigga? Okay.
Bruh, he got his contacts lead. We working on a prescription. Don't worry about it.
The moon for a nigga.
Yeah. We get the prescription,
too
bro.
Soon to give up on Scoot, bro. Damn, he's already untouchable.
I'm not saying give up on him, but the moon?
Bruh.
Untouchable. Okay. Untouchable, though. Like there's a path to touch him. I'm not gonna lie to you.
What's a realistic one? Like we've been talking about though.
You want me to be honest?
Two first, and one of them being in next year's draft. No protections on it. Yeah, I'm doing it.
It would be a situation where the Blazers, for some uncharacteristic reason, to trade for a better player than Scoot, so they're featuring Scoot and another young player. And picks, so I think they'd be getting some kind of all-star superstar guy in return for Scoot.
Charlotte can send me this year's pick, their first round pick this year. They can send me Trey Mann and a second round pick next year, and I'm like green light
for a generational point guard. Boy, that's
who called him generational?
Two first rounds. That's it. Generational point guard. Oh my god.
What's Buddy's name next year that they keep comparing to Harden? Oh god.
What is next year?
Yes. 2025. No. His name is, and I can't believe I'm blanking out on this name, Dylan Harper. I'm not gonna lie.
Don't say AJ Griffin.
Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey. You know what I'm saying? If I get an option to get up in that, you know, that upper echelon of them picks. Hey man, a generational guard can only get you so far. That's all I'm
saying.
That's crazy.
Crazy cop out, man.
A generational guard can only get you so far. Now, forward or somebody that has the hardened comp?
Hey, yeah. So.
He was like another generational guard. Is James Harden a generational guard?
He was a generational guard until he put them goggles on. Then he was like, oh, reality.
The Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings.
Unless you think Keegan is going to be him as a shooter, nobody.
Me personally, maybe I'm crazy. Sabonis, De'Aaron, and Keegan. Those would be my three.
Yeah. They're trying to make that core work for another 3 to 4 years, in my opinion. So they're not looking to move from those three.
Niggas might not be good enough. That's the only reason I'm saying nobody.
Oh yeah, I don't think they're good enough, Sage. Yeah. But for that team, those are the untouchables. They're not. They're
you
not
can come. You can come and get Sabonis up off me easily.
All right. No. Let's remember what the Kings were while we were growing up. Remember what the Kings were in the 2010s.
True. Sometimes it's that's just Celtics.
they also didn't have me at the helm. You can come and get Sabonis up off me, gang. I ain't going. The Spurs. I think we all know the answer.
Yeah. Well,
Wemby, Devin Vassell. Yes.
It's just context, bro. I don't think Devin Vassell's ass, bro.
Devin Vassell turns into Tony Parker. We're gonna look that funny, but yes, man.
Hold on, let's be clear. Tony Parker wasn't untouchable, so that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine with me.
Because Dolchin is not untouchable, man. I'm sorry. He might be their Marcus Smart. That's my only thing. He might be their culture guy.
And what you do with Marcus Smart?
Touched him.
They traded him way too late. They traded him way too late, though, to be fair.
Way too late. You should have traded him when he was 34.
I'm saying it'd be like their Josh Hart, you know?
Okay. The Toronto Raptors.
I take nobody. I don't. Scotty fans, I'm sorry.
Nah, I'm saying Scotty.
Scotty is not touchable after today.
That guy that he just got?
What did he do?
Scotty Moore.
On a ball. He signed
an extension, the $100 million.
Yeah, 4 years, 2 million. I ain't trading that bullshit.
They're paying him like the untouchable. Let me tell you what.
You got bread. Shit, you got it. Never mind. Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, I think, I guess you got to because you paid him, but I mean, you don't got to. They paid him because they had to, but.
Yeah. It ain't happening. You'll trade him.
You pay him. Utah.
Nobody. Utah.
No, the roster.
I'll say nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody, man.
Nobody.
And last team, the Washington Wizards.
Oh, hell no, nobody.
Bilal, and that's it.
Shout out Bilal. Bilal Bucket.
No, Bilal. You don't gotta lean into the mic.
I'm not leaning into the mic. I'm chilling.
No, every time you give an answer, I'm just saying it's cool.
It's instinct, bro. He's had the Yeti for so long.
The Yeti. It's that Yeti effect. Yeah, you're right, Sage.
The Yeti tendencies.
My bad, dog. I forgot how to get it. My bad, bro.
I get it, bro.
Where the mute at? I missed that sound, Damo. I ain't gonna lie.
My bad, Damo. That's on me.
My bad, that was me. That was me.
That's on me. I ain't know they was gonna do all that.
They always do all that.
I just missed that, man. Dama, you're muted. My bad. That was crazy.
He come in hella passionate. And you know how he come in hella passionate, right? He lean in real hard.
Dama, you muted.
Oh, my bad, gang. And then it's with less passion after the mute. I ain't gonna lie. You feel a little defeated. Oh my God, B-Souls.
Oh,
yo, B-Souls is a terrible person. All right.
You started it. What the fuck?
No. So we'll talk about some draft stuff because in the conversation of untouchables, leads us right into the draft because we predict there's going to be a lot of draft day moves, especially with some of these teams not being able to make a decision. Atlanta doesn't know what's going on, gang. I think that's the only place to start. Atlanta does not know what they're doing. Maybe it's a smokescreen dance on some Chris move type shit. They can't get a workout from Sar, who a lot of people believe is the top guy. They're apparently seriously taking a look at Donovan Clingan. And what's even more scarier for a lot of Hawks fans is that they are looking at Zachary Richichet. Now, I know this ain't the draft analysis podcast, but especially because this is a year, this is what I want to ask y'all. Specifically because this is a year where there's not like a Wimbert or a Zion or a Ja, or throw a Ja in there, or a Paolo, or, just a consensus number one guy. What are you doing as a GM today? Or, well, Wednesday. Well, between today and Wednesday.
If I'm in the lottery in general or...
No, if you the Hawks with that number one pick, oh, you got Sarr. You got Sarr on the board, but also you have he doesn't want to work out for you. What are you doing?
Draft Sarr. Next question.
I'm about to say, yeah, I'm calling the Magic and I'm asking him, hey, how did it go when you drafted Paolo even though he didn't work out for you? Oh, it worked out fine? Okay. And I'm drafting Sarr.
I said that later as well, so yeah.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Draft day trades, somebody needs to pull up how well draft day trades work for, like, you know, the rest of the league or whatever the case may be, or in history. Because I just don't, I can't remember one that maybe be like, oh yeah, that one made sense and panned out. Why we need to come and do these workouts? We know these workouts be bullshit. You know, run up and down the court, lay the ball up, dunk the ball. That should not deter you from a guy who has all this game footage and all this OTE stuff. Now, what I will say, Jeff Teague, friend of the show, said that when he went to see Sarr at OTE, he just didn't stick out. He wasn't a guy. How does that make y'all feel?
I don't think he has to be the guy, but I don't think there's anything wrong with Atlanta just drafting a guy that fits this year, even if he isn't this Wemby-ass prospect. Just draft a guy that fits with the guys you have right now. Lower your expectations for next year and not try to do this off-season of Atlanta and just try to win a championship next season. Get another good draft pick in next year's draft, and now you have a chance to pair Sarr with someone else that makes more sense. Doesn't have to be a one-year thing for them, which I think it is what they're trying to do. I don't know what Atlanta's trying to do right now. I don't think they know what they want to do with Trae Young specifically, but that's what I would do.
Are they on the short list of teams that you can't identify what the hell they're trying to do?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, if we're talking about in terms of just this year's draft, they're on a long list of teams that I don't know what the hell they're doing. This entire draft process has been like that. It's not even just the Hawks, so I'm not mad at Atlanta. A lot of these teams are idiots. Finding out that Ron Holland genuinely might slide out of the lottery is insane behavior and work. Ron Holland is the second, third best player in his draft, and he's sliding out of the lottery. For what reason? I don't know. This is insane work. These teams are, I don't know. These guys are bad at their jobs. I've been saying this, though.
Yeah. For me, unfortunately, because I'm trying to get into general basketball more than just the NBA. Seen the Reese CC game, but I think that's Mickey. Everybody sees that. I think for me, when it comes to Alexander Sarr and Trae Young, it just seems like a match made in heaven. So I understand he may not be happy day one, two, or three. Hey, he gonna be mad for 4 years, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Now, the only way I trade the pick is if I get a player scary similar. If Miami hits the fucking button and I can get Bam and Trae, I call my bluff or some shit like that. And maybe I get additional role players, whatever logistics need to be sorted out. But unless I'm getting that kind of big man with Trae Young, I'm good, bro.
What's interesting, Sage, is that he's actually, looking to be in your city. Sarr's looking to be in D.C. instead of Atlanta.
I change everything. Trade the pick, Atlanta. D.C. is starving, bro. Bro, we're still talking about John Wall versus prime point guards in 2017, bro. We're still saying that John Wall would do the same thing Kyrie did in Cleveland and, in fact, win another ring. We're still saying that John Wall and Golden State mirror Steph Curry. We're still saying John Wall and Bradley Beal, the most underrated backcourt. Like, we've been just harping on this shit for, like, a decade, bro. We're down cataclysmic over here. We got nothing to rely on but Kuzma tweaks and Jordan Poole unders, bro. My God, bro.
Cooper Flagg in DC will go crazy.
We need some.
The main event at the Capitol? Come on.
Cooper Flagg in DC. Trump gets elected. Best white rookie that's American since, like, Christian Laettner or JJ Redick.
For the Capitol?
For the Capitol. I don't know. MAGA in the Capitol?
Duke
first
guy.
Of all,
two?
First of all.
Duke guy?
He is too much like Tyler Hero for them to really push him as that white savior guy. I'm not going to lie to you.
You, Damoto, you say that, and then all you got to do is just ask him about George Floyd. I just didn't understand why they were kneeling. I never really got it. I just didn't get it.
Was Kyle Rittenhouse in the wrong? I don't think so.
Defending yourself is wrong now?
Those criminals were chasing him. Like, all right, well, let's take his mic.
Whoa. Matter of fact, has anybody searched his tweets yet? Cooper Flag?
Oh, God, please.
No. I don't think so.
I'm telling you, not saying that they should. You know it's coming.
That's true.
And there's a possibility. So that's what I'm saying. Before we say he's more Tyler Hero, he's more Eminem. Okay.
Okay. No one brought up Eminem. All right. All right, man. It always gets to Eminem every time. He always gets to Eminem.
Our friend Six Rings of Steel said on Twitter, I still don't understand why Alex Saar or his agent would rather play for the Wizards than Atlanta. The Hawks have one of the best playmaking point guards in the league that could further help this development or his development. And I highly doubt if they drafted Saar, they wouldn't trade Capella and or Onyeka Okongwu to free up minutes for Saar right away. That's just weird. Would you rather play in Atlanta? You know, position doesn't even matter at this point. Would you rather play with Atlanta or would you rather play with DC?
If Atlanta's not about to trade the other two centers that are at my position, if I'm not hearing that you're trading both or one of them to make room for me, yeah, send me to DC because I'm going to get play time. They just traded their center.
Yeah, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm thinking about my career. If I'm Saar, I see where you're coming from because these 4 years, cool. Yeah, I might have a chance to win. I understand that. But, hey, if I could be the guy, get them dollars, get that max contract, whatever, and then trade myself or ask out or sign wherever I need to go years later, go for it. But I think, though, that's an extreme. I think Atlanta's, like, going to be a good fit for him.
Maybe it's just – he wants to be the guy. I think what Sage just brought up might be the real reason why he doesn't want to go to Atlanta. Because I think even if he does go to Atlanta, having Trae Young there, they're looking at Alex Saar to be a complimentary piece. But if he goes to Washington, he would be the centerpiece until further notice.
But nothing about Atlanta. I mean, nothing about Washington. Even the concept of being the guy. Nothing about Washington makes me say that I want to be there. And no disrespect or shade to Washington. Disrespect. But I just don't like even with being the guy, like, all right, you won't probably get center minutes. Like they're saying they're not trading center minutes, and this is me putting a position on myself. Okay, do I not think that I'm better than 6'8" Okongwu at center? And do I not think that I'm better than 49-year-old Clint Capella at center?
The center conversation is not the problem for me. It's just being a number two to Trey.
No, it wasn't
mentality, he's trying to be a one.
But that's the other question. So then I would have to say, as an overall thing, with the way that they view Trae Young, the way that the zeitgeist of the NBA conversation or whatever the case may be sees Trae Young, do I believe that I would be the number one on that team? I think the answer is yes. Mm, I mean, that's just me betting on myself.
Betting on yourself, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's me betting on myself. Now, there's some guys where I would be like, you know, I'm kind of iffy on if I would be the guy, but people have already bought, you know, we're low on Trae Young. I'm talking about from when he was drafted, lower during the beginning of the season, high. They've already seen like high highs of his stock. That bar did not seem very high because even at Trae Young's high, where we say he was in like the hierarchy of the league? Top 15,
maybe 10.
I think at one point he was 15-ish, but definitely not 10.
But 15? Probably, yeah, 15. Top 15, 15. So you don't think that in maybe like 2-3 years you could be higher than top 15, 15? I don't know. At that point, you're weak.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's simply, I mean, we all understand there's politics that goes into this as well. And I get it. If I'm sorry, do I feel like I'm better than Okongwu and Clint Capella. Yeah. But is it going to be a guarantee for me to play? I don't know. Where? Why wouldn't I go somewhere where I'm guaranteed to play? Name me the center for the Wizards right now.
I wish I had a big foot.
Nah, losing the mute button is hurting right now.
Not
man.
Just because I was like, if you're not 15 by year two, you're weak as fuck. Like, damn, bro, it's the second year in the league. Why can't I be top 15?
No. I'm not even saying that you think that you are. Like you actually are top 15. I'm thinking like, damn, you only got the mentality that you like. You ain't even hyping yourself up. Why am I supposed to believe in you? You think you sweet? Like, what am I supposed to do with that, bro? I don't know.
By the way, Dom, I have no idea who's the center of Washington right now. You got me, bro. I'm a fraud.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't want to put up a lot of bad shots on a bad team, and then you know be looking at Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole. Like, come on, gang. Jordan Poole. Well, gang, we tried it tonight. We only lost by 25.
I forgot Jordan Poole was on the Wizards. Yeah, go to Atlanta, man.
He has zero confidence.
I was thinking
right
Bilal was going to be the starting PG for some reason.
Oh, bro.
Nah.
What's his name? Has zero confidence. Jordan Poole has zero confidence. What am I supposed to do with that, bro?
I'll
Bilal
say
just telling me, come on, buddy.
Why is he Mickey?
Why they gotta be? That's French people to you. That's crazy.
I'm saying he's like, Mickey. He is Mickey. But
I say for any support in favor of him still going to Atlanta, he could be looking to just try to be like a Chet situation because everybody know Chet ain't on SGA tier or even potentially a tier below, but he's viewed in a positive limelight. So maybe he could just get that level of attention as like the clear number two in Atlanta.
I don't know. So we had a deeper conversation with Six Rings of Steel, and I think it's going to be very good to consume that. So I want you guys to check it out right here. Weird little transition for the people who are watching it live, because you're definitely going to be able to see that on playback if you are watching this live. Let's round this pod out, though.
The audio guys are confused.
The audio guys, no, they'll get it. The audio guys will get it.
Oh, okay,
It's just a live viewers. God, to be alive now. What a time to be alive.
Dang. For free. Oh, I don't have the echo anymore.
Free. What a time to be alive. All right, so Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, the mommies played last night. Dang, where's the pod outline? Oh, I lost it. My bad in the Notion.
I'm tired as hell.
Yeah. All right, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark played last night. Very riveting game. I don't know if anybody got
that
their
ending
chance.
Was crazy, bro.
Yeah, if anybody got a chance to look at it. Before we start, I'm gonna read their stats, some things about them that you know. And I just want to ask, based off of the stats, based off of what we know, Angel Reese on her eighth consecutive double-double. I think she leads the league in offensive rebounds. She's second in rebounding as a whole, but it's by like a tenth of a rebound, if I'm not mistaken. 13.2, 11.1 boards, 2.1 assists, 2 steals. Let's see what those block shots. Let me see if there's a block shot. It's not a full block, but those are Angel Reese's stats. Her team is actively in eighth place, so they would make the playoffs if the playoffs started today. Or not eighth place, I'm sorry. No, it is eighth place. They are in eighth place if the playoffs started today. Caitlin Clark's team is in ninth place. Right now, Caitlin is averaging 16.3, 5.4 boards, 6.6 assists, and 1.5 steals. She is in fourth in assists. Again, these are, you know, by tenth of an assist. Do y'all have a prediction for Rookie of the Year? Based off what y'all have been watching?
Well, with Cameron Brink going down, and I wasn't even sure how our numbers were competing.
Damo, it's fine. Lead him, King.
Is it good?
Okay.
Yeah, with Cameron Brink going down, I'm not going to lie, it feels like it's a two-woman race. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm going to give the edge to Caitlin Clark, you know? The American sweetheart. Injuries definitely be a close second. Maybe we get – is it possible to get a Cole Rookie of the Year in the WNBA?
Don't do that shit.
I'm just asking, is it possible?
I mean, anything is technically possible.
That would make so many people mad, Damo, which that's what they're going for.
I'm about to say, which, I ain't gonna lie to you.
I want credibility, and then you're giving co-rookie of the year.
Hey, they want to make noise. I'm not going to hold you. They've been pinning them against each other every day.
Everyone would legitimately be mad.
Yeah, I think nobody's happy with that. Furthermore,
That's kind of hard. Yeah, that might be the move though. I ain't gonna lie. I'm sorry.
Rage engagement. Ugh.
For Neon me, League chat. Neon League.
Crazy. Nah, bro, stop. I'm gonna go ahead and say. I'm gonna say 3-2-1. I'm gonna go Kaylin. I think that she's more poised to get the offensive numbers. Maybe that's a bad take. I'm far from a WNBA expert. Like I said, even when I'm watching this game, I watched it very casually. I was like in bed on my phone, turn left. Oh shit, it's a close game type shit. But I think Kaylin's more poised to put up offensive numbers than Angel Reese is. So just by design of what the award typically looks for, I think Kaylin will probably get it.
Yeah. Cause I think Kaylin's averaging what, like 15, 5 and 5 ish?
I think it was 16 or something like that. Yeah. But yeah.
I think in general, these awards, they just favor the who can get closer to a triple double stat line. Like, I don't know.
And I was about to say, when it comes to Angel Reese, the saving grace for her might be these rookie rebound numbers. If she does go on some crazy tear where it's constantly she's the first rookie in the WNBA to achieve X rebound, at a certain point, I'm like, God damn, all right, she's a glass cleaner, and that might go in her favor.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder how much voters are going to value rebounding in these conversations, because rebounding isn't like the sexiest stat at all. I think a lot more people are watching these games, so that would be very interesting. I think I don't know. It'll end up being a tough race. They both did break some records last night. Caitlin Clark, most assists in franchise history in a single game with 13 assists she had. And I promise you that she should have had damn near like 17 15, and 20. Yeah, she should have had like 15, 16, 17, something like that, because, you know, just the sheer capabilities. And then Angel Reese had a 25 and like 13 or something like that, 10 to 10.
16, some shit.
Or 16, but the number was like 25 and maybe 15 since the first game like that since Asia Wilson did it back in 2018. I think that was crazy. Do y'all have any reactions from the game?
It might be rigged at this point. All the game's good. all the fever games against I'm blanking.
Sky.
All the fever Sky games, they're good. So might be rigged. But all the troll aside, I mean, I love it. I think that the WNBA has somehow established a rivalry, granted maybe for the wrong reasons initially, but this is the first one that it didn't feel politicky. It just felt like hoops. I fuck with it.
I didn't catch the game. I'm a casual. I'm actually going to react to it on stream right after the pod. So, yeah.
We'll be there.
Yeah, I had the same opinion this age. Favorite game so far, it just felt like hoops. We was just talking about hoops. From both sides, Caitlin Clark had a great game. Angel Reese had a great game. Chinedu Carter had a great game as well.
Chinedu is crazy. They're going to kill you.
How do you pronounce it?
Kennedy. They're going to kill you.
Okay,
it's Kennedy.
My bad.
You're cooked.
They just got Stephen A.
He saw Steve Carter and thought it was Chase. It's over.
They got Skip Bayless and Stephen A. So I'm trying to get you game.
Yeah, my bad. But yeah, she played well. I think Aaliyah hit like a crazy shot at the end. It was a fantastic game. Great moments from it. Angel Reese was dogging Nalissa Smith. Did I pronounce it?
Yeah. Okay.
No, she could not hold her that game. Every time down. God, but great. Nah, man. I love that game.
I think that they needed to. That pissed me off because, I mean, Nalissa Smith looked like Thanksgiving, Easter, your birthday, Golden Corral, Ryan. She looked like, you know, the buffet to Angel.
I did like Cardoza, the shot she took at the end too, bro.
Yeah. Cardoza was like at the free throw line, and, you know, Aaliyah should have came down and helped more. There should have been a little bit more help. At some point, you got to send somebody. Because there's just no way. Switch you know, maybe have Camilla score on. Listen, I don't know, but it's just that I that was crazy to see her feast like that. I will say, bigger observation, this is what a lot of people are talking about. Caitlin Clark didn't take a shot, and I think also didn't assist on a pass or on a shot for the last like 6 minutes, 7 minutes in the game. How you don't draw anything up like that for her, especially it was one point where they were down three. This might have been like a minute and some change left. They were down three, and I mean, Caitlin came in, gave the ball to Aaliyah Boston, and then kind of just, you know, honestly shriveled away up in the corner, and Aaliyah Boston ended up taking a three, which shocked everybody. That shocked the whole world. But Caitlin not taking shots like that has a lot of people concerned.
Yeah, when you're a scorer like her, I think not taking a shot in the last 5 minutes is letting the defense off the hook. Like that's if their arguably best scorer is just not shooting, whether it's a coaching thing or a her thing, that makes the job of the defense much easier. So people were having conversations about like her being more so like Steve Nash than Steph Curry, which I do think is a better conversation because of her passing ability. But I just wish, even like with the Steve Nash comp, she leans towards Trae Young more than Steve Nash, because Trae Young is taking those shots at the end of the game.
Yeah, because Trae Young's better. Oh.
And Steve Nash, maybe. I don't want to be that guy. I think it's a coaching nerf. I do think it's a. I wasn't on that train beforehand. I think it's a. All right, first couple of games, we let you shoot it around willy-nilly. Next couple of games, we're going to get you to pass it. And they have been better. After they had their little week off, they ran off four, maybe five straight. I think it was like four straight. Like wins, just big wins. And I'll talk about those wins. I think they all touched 90 points, all that shit. But at the same time, if what Gilbert Arenas say, I could see a Ferrari, like it's a Bugatti engine, and they got it parked in the garage. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes you need to let that Bugatti out. Sometimes you just got to let that thing go. Yeah, I got to see that. And people complained about it in like the title games and stuff like that last year in the tournament. Oh, she went 6 for 20, and she attempted 17 threes. Me, I don't know. Are we mad? She had 40 points. Are we mad?
And it's not, I think she's getting there, though. I think she's getting there. She looks, over these last couple of games, much more comfortable than when she first started playing. I think she's also getting adjusted to having, like, shot creators on the team compared to, like, in Iowa. Because Aaliyah, she can play in the post. Kelsey Mitchell can create off the dribble as well. So I think she's just trying to find her role in that. But I think she'll settle with, even in this role of more talented pieces around me, I still got to be more aggressive. So,
fair enough. Last thing I want to say before we get up out of here. So I went to the game, the Fever Dream game, Friday, this past Friday.
Right.
When I tell you, I've never experienced a crowd like that, except for maybe at a college football game. Now, Saints Falcons game as well. I have
playoff
been to
Fox
a Saints
game.
No.
Damn.
No. Now I was gonna say that I am not in Sports City. That might be an indictment on the sports in this city. However, this is still a football place. The only thing that I could put it next to, college football. Saints Falcons NFL specifically. They tipped the ball up. Oh, well, they called the name first, and when they called her name, I mean, it was kind of crazy. They go down, not even Caitlin, somebody else on the team takes the first shot, and it's already like deep, like you kind of feel it. Caitlin takes her first shot, makes her first shot. I swear to God, you feel it in your spine. It's almost a little bit scary.
That's not like
almost
Steph Curry.
A little bit scary.
Well, I experienced that, so I agree. That sounds like Steph Curry, because in DC, of course, he had a stinker when I went there. But Yeah, nah. It was a home game for that motherfucker. Every other Warrior. Fact. Oh, boo, boo. Curry hit a three. I said hit a three. If he's about to shoot, everybody stood up. They were like,
yes, crazy. Yes. Everybody crazy. On their feet. That is the and again, just a rumbling in an arena, because they moved it to State Farm, in an arena with like no metal bleachers. No, you know what I'm saying? Because you can kind of feel stuff in metal bleachers. You could just feel the energy. So if y'all got a chance, I suggest everybody go. It is a once in a lifetime type experience, especially before they jack these things up crazy. I know a lot of people won't be able to see like NBA players, the Bronze, the Kobe's, or whatever the case may be. Even when I saw Kobe in person, it wasn't like that. So
it sounds like lore, chat.
The lure, it's reaching through the orange. But nah, who's on the Mystics? That doesn't sound like my guy.
Aaliyah Edwards, but I would, Sage, I promise you. Okay. I would just try to do it, gang. It is even Dre went to the Fever Sky game yesterday.
You see the tattoo he got?
Dre be out there. Shout out Dre, man.
We gotta give him a race. But he was there, and he called us while he was in the arena. He was like, "Yo, it's just it's like a totally different feeling. Low key, it's kind of scary, but he's like, it's a totally different feeling."
Yeah. Say that.
Shout out Caitlin Carter, man.
Mega
star. Ultra star.
V star.
With that super team star. Yo, stop. With that being said, this has been another episode of the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you guys for participating and listening. If you want the full, unedited, non-scripted, extra clipped versions or whatever the case may be, tap into the audio platforms, tap into the long form platforms, get in the Discord, do all those things. Besos, do you have a 5-star review for us or not?
I do. I was waiting for you to ask.
You know, I ain't forget about you. You know, I ain't forget about you, Tony.
This is from Swag5P0. Great pod. Been following the pod for about 2 years now. Love hearing the guys talk about anything, really. Watching their pod is pretty much a part of my daily routine now.
Type shit. Appreciate that, my boy.
A little obsessed, but. Now, with that being said, Mr. 99K, say goodbye to the people.
Hey, that would be 99.2K to you. Well, no, it's like 188 right now. But nah, hey, man, appreciate you guys. Appreciate the love, whether you're from TSO originally, a Keep It A Bucker that transformed into a TSO, a SNSer that then joined Keep It A Buck and then went to a TSO. Appreciate all the support, man. The anime arc has been sensational over there. Yes, I talk about anime. If you didn't know that from the Keep It A Buck fans. I'll be talking heavy on anime. We watched Superhero, Dragon Ball Superhero today, and we had my friends on stream, and let's just say they're casuals, which speaking of, that's kind of the vibe over there, man. We just have a fun, casual vibe, talk hella shit, same way that I do over here. Take care, stay blessed. Hopefully, we hit 100K one day. I don't know when. I'm not going to jinx it, but I'll see you all next time, and I hope the pod is not on the 24-hour stream, because I will be ass next pod. I'll tell you, be fighting it.
I love it. I don't have a name for you, B-Souls. Mr. B-Souls, say goodbye to the people.
Peace out, y'all. Appreciate y'all for coming through. I'm excited to see what the pod looks like tomorrow. I'm just remembering the week where y'all cooked us for these changes. This is what these changes were ultimately leading up to. And hopefully y'all like it. Hopefully y'all like it, man. We weren't like that ass. I know the conversation back then was we was trying to scam y'all and put everything under a paywall, but this was the vision. So hopefully y'all like it, man.
This was the vision, though. That's a double entendre. Like the vision, and then this was the division between the community.
What shouldn't divide you is the playback chat for free.
This guy right here. Damo, say goodbye to the people.
All right, Chaz, me and my friend, my night snack, and we will be back after the pod because I'm streaming, and we got a lot of shit to talk about. A lot of PC drama that's happened. I like to get into PC drama. That shit's funny. Reacting to some games. React to a bunch of stuff. We just reacting to shit. So be there. That's Damo.
Yeah.
On Twitch.
If you need a basketball home, anybody at PC Damo, let them know. We got them. We got something for them. No disrespect. No, nobody said anything. No, but we're not gonna disrespect nobody. We're gonna pay people, all those things. It's just we got you. With that being said, take care, stay blessed. Bye guys.
Peace. Damn.